Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 125, currently coming to you from Armageddon, if you only follow the national news media. In reality, Mother Nature has not... I'm trying to think of another word that's not sodomy. Mother Nature has not abused Glacinator and I, although Louisiana might want the fires we have here for a couple days, and we'll take the rain for a couple days, and then things might be a little more normal. But Glacinator, go ahead and say hello.
Yes, I'm alive.
It's the only one on the show with me this week. John claimed he had family issues. Turns out it was his birthday today. I'm pretty convinced at this point he's drunk somewhere, which I'm not mocking him. I'm not mocking him. He did actually have family coming into town as well. I'm just making fun of him, and I'm also going to wish him happy birthday at daylight because I'm too lazy to type on Facebook. Yes, I am.
Happy birthday, John. Yay.
But, yeah, for the folks at home who want real reporting from somebody that's actually there, Lafayette did not get that much. Your parents are okay, and brothers are okay in actual New Orleans.
Yeah, everything is fine. A few parishes got hit sort of hard, but other than that, it was like mild winds. One of my friends walked across campus to get to his other dorm, so it was nothing.
There was a pretty good picture, and you should hunt it up. I think it was AP, of a bunch of Alabama students, Tuscaloosa, out there in driving rain with barometers or windometers, whatever those damn things are that catch wind.
Yeah, barometer.
It was hilarious because the wind was actually blowing hard enough, and like three of them were girls, and I really actually felt sorry for them because all three of them looked like they were getting ready to be blown away. Well, that's a hell of a way to earn your education. Hey guys, let's get in the school van and drive to New Orleans. You can stand out in 80-mile-an-hour winds.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is if you're... It is depending on how warm it is. I've been out in it when it's cold.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, like 65. We get like 65, 70 mile an hour winds around here, some winter storms. That's not as much fun.
I mean, this is nice, warm ocean wind.
Exactly. I wouldn't mind it there. Did the wind blow in Lafayette, or was it pretty good?
It wasn't that strong, but it was pretty windy. I actually got in my car the other day, drove to a friend's house to get a skateboard and bring it back so that we could... I'd stand on the skateboard and we'd have a tarp, and you'd hold the tarp and the wind would blow the tarp a little bit, but it wasn't windy enough for it to work very well.
Oh, so that's why there's no video of skateboard wind sailing?
No.
Skateboard could have been. Skateboard wind sailing morphed into chariot races is what I'm going to guess now.
Yes. I mean, that technically is what I've been playing this week, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, is that really the only thing you've been playing this week is basically screwing around in an empty campus because they close classes to cover their asses?
More or less, yes.
This is going to be a sad what we've been playing because I've played exactly two things.
I mean, what? I played one game, but...
Well, then talk about that. What one game did you play that didn't involve skateboards and somebody passing out and a bunch of other stuff? And they weren't drinking. I know these kids... They're good kids. I'm vouching for people I don't even know. I could be screwed at the end of this. And they were completely sober, which I was proud of because it's, Glacinator disagrees with me, but I know for a fact that it's slightly less likely you're going to get hurt badly if you have all your faculties around you. possibly.
I don't know. Poles were run to, chairs were thrown, blood was shed. It was intense.
Oh, nobody's missing an eyeball, though.
No, not yet.
That's the mother litmus test. You'll poke out your eye with that thing. Well, if you haven't lost your eye, you know, you could be missing an arm. If you haven't lost an eyeball yet, we're good. So what one video game have you been playing while you've been screwing off with canceled classes?
All right, well, I've talked about it before, but that game is Awesomenauts, which is the 2D tower defense game. And... I guess I'll talk about it a little bit more since they added a new character since I last talked about it. And this new character, he's pretty funny. They try to appeal to the fans a lot. And his name is Derpel, D-E-R-P, and then L. And he's an alien that walks around in like a little mech suit. And his special ability is that he shoots cats.
Just nice. Do they make sounds?
I think they do. And when you power them up, they change colors. It's pretty funny. But, I mean, that game is always fun. It'll never stop being fun. It's a great party game. Easy to get in and get out of, so. Derp all the way.
Is your generation... Now, Derp, I know you know.
Mm-hmm.
But is your age set... I shouldn't say generation. That's mean and making me sound like I'm 50. And I'm not. Is your age group aware of what a purple nurple is?
Yes.
Okay, so do we think that that was a head-on combo of Derple and Purple Nurple, or Derp and Purple Nurple?
I don't think so.
Oh, it would be awesome if it was, though. Is he purple? Or the cats?
He is green.
Are the cats purple?
The cats turn red.
I almost want to get this game just for the cats.
You should. We could play online.
Is it on 360?
Or it's on PC? 360. It's on PS3, 360, PS3.
You said PS3 twice. I think you meant PC.
Oh, PS3 and PC and 360.
Ooh, yeah, I may have to get it then. If if I ever stop playing Guild Wars 2, which isn't questionable at this point, I'm not quite to the level of Depends and an IV, but it's pretty bad. It's worse than I thought it was going to be honest. Well, I'm not going to get into Guild Wars 2 yet. What I did play, though, was an iPhone game. It was part of Patman's free iPhone thing. And he actually was kind enough to shoot me a message on Facebook about it. Was Ricky Carmichael's Pro Racer Matchup. And it's basically a motocross game for iPhone. Now, I was leery of this. I like motocross. I participated in motocross at one time in my life. And rode dirt bikes and other places. Including houses. But I wasn't really sure how I was going to like this because I was afraid it was going to be all gyroscopic controls. And as longtime listeners of the show know, I suck with the gyroscopic controls on the iPhone. So I'm kind of going, Well, so I downloaded it. The gyroscopic controls, and maybe it's because it's motocross and I understand the physics, or I'm just a loon, actually really work well with a dirt bike racer. They took a minute or two to get used to, but unlike Aquamoto 2, where I finally had to switch to the touch controls, I really like the gyroscopic controls on this. My only problem with the game is so far all I've done is practice, because the reason it's called Matchup Pro is you match, it's head-to-head racing, just two people versus people online. Which I wouldn't have a problem with that. Fine, okay, at least I can't hear the randoms through the phone like I can on Xbox Live. So I was okay with that. But the problem became every time I tried it, I'd get somebody that was like level 32, had like a 95% win rate, was on a bike that I can't afford because of their little monetization scam, and I'm level 1, and it's like, well... how am I supposed to level up when this dude's going to lap me? Because he's got way better stuff than I do. Four times in a row this afternoon when I finally decided to brave multiplayer, that happened. It was like level 10 was the lowest, and I finally ended up racing that guy. And he didn't lap me, but my pride was the only thing that kept him from lapping me. Because it was like, no way, dude, I'm knocking you down. You're not lapping me. So I'm not sure how much life or longevity this Ricky Carmichael game has, but if you see it for free, which it was when I downloaded it, I will not claim it is now, or if you see it for like 99 cents and you like racing games, it's a fun racer. And you can practice. I mean, you can practice and learn all the tracks, and that will help you when you're facing guys 7 zillion levels above you. Now, the next one, and I will try and keep this as brief as possible because I know not many of our audience like MMOs, like RPGs. I am playing Guild Wars 2, and I have to say, it is probably... No, there's no probably about it. It is my favorite MMO of all time to this date. And I've played pretty much every MMO at some point, or all the major ones, from Ultima Online. And I have to correct myself if any of my Google Plus followers or people I follow are listening. I said I started with EverQuest because my boneheaded mind, EverQuest came before Ultima Online, and I was wrong when I finally looked it up. My first MMO actually was Ultima Online, but that's not the game we're talking about. We're talking about Guild Wars 2. What I like about it and what sets it apart from every MMO I've ever played is it's not just quests. It's not just fetch this, carry that. It's not you have to be a certain level to take part in all the cool shit, like raiding or instances or so on and so forth. That's all combined in the map. And one best way to describe what I'm talking about is, okay, let's say there's a village. And generally this village is bordered by bad guys. Let's say centaurs, because that is a pretty major enemy race in the game. What will happen is that village will be attacked and a giant orange circle will appear on your screen. Now, you haul ass to that village, and you and like 70 of your closest friends or more, it's so chaotic and it's a lot of fun, will show up there and you will literally have to defend the town against so many waves of enemies. But you never feel like you're going to die in a heap, because other players can revive you, kind of like Battlefield series does in the FPS world. Not to mention, there's usually so damn many people there that the enemies don't stand a chance. Now, that doesn't mean in a future update they can't ratchet up the difficulty a little bit. And they may want to, because there's times where it feels a little, not easy, but a little ridiculous. And there's other things like that that's going on in the game world. You have to escort caravans. Another way you can earn experience is finding these vista points. They're like really cool, you know, vistas or views of the game world. Just traveling to towns, exploring a lot, gets you experience points. Very little of your time is spent in your actual questing, which in Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 is known as your story. You pick some things when you make your character, and your story is basically tailored after your choices. The nice thing so far that I've noticed, I'm level 22 or 3 right now with my main character. Every time you finish a quest, the next quest is usually only a level or two away, meaning that you need to gain a couple levels to do it. There's no pointless grinding to get to those to get to that point where you can do your next quest. Unlike WoW, unlike Aeon, unlike Lord of the Rings Online, you just go run around and do these different, different events or instances. I think they're called world events. And the great thing is there's plenty of waypoints that you can see on the map where you can fast travel. You know, there's no Griffin like World of Warcraft, for those of you that know that particular game, which you should at least know what it is. You just literally click on a point, fast travel to it. If it's under attack, you can't, but you can get close. And so it's the possibilities for leveling up are endless, and they're not tedious. They're not level grinding. I mean, it's nothing earth-shattering. It still has MMO traits. If I was to say to somebody who's never played MMOs before, I'd say it's quite a bit less confusing as far as figuring out where you have to go and what you need to do. The map is super well marked. I've been playing it pretty much every chance I have since last Saturday, which, to wrap this up, is kind of a funny story. I did not know, and it's something I got to give ArenaNet and Amazon and even GameStop credit for. I wanted a physical copy because I just wanted a physical copy. I don't know. I was weird that day. So I ordered it from Amazon. Cool thing is as a bonus, because I ordered it on such and such a date, they sent me a code in my email, and I was able to download a digital copy of the game for the game's head start period, which started Saturday, Friday, and ended Sunday. I didn't even have my physical copy yet. I could download this digital copy, play it, and all I had to do is, when my physical copy arrived, take a code out of my physical copy, or on a piece of paper out of my physical copy, put that in, and I'm good to go. Here's the part where I was stupid, and that's why I'm telling you the story, so you can laugh at me. I didn't realize that was what that code was for until like Saturday morning when I actually read the email. So I didn't get the full head start, but I want to give ArenaNet a round of applause. You know, they could have been very strict about it and said, no, you have to wait until your physical copy gets there. We don't care. And it was kind of nice, because I was ahead of people who bought it on launch by a day and a half, almost 2 days. And actually, now that I think about it, one final thing, and I'm sorry, I'm done, I swear. Launch day was actually really good. It was a little laggy at times. I had to, you know, log in a couple times because it was having a little issue. But they actually got rid of all the issues from registering and logging on and all that, apparently on Friday early into Saturday. So they did it really, really quick. So EA, THQ, Activision, probably Microsoft with Halo 4, Capcom, you might want to give ArenaNet a call. They'll show you how to actually have a game launch. And believe me, there's a lot more people playing this game at any one given time than probably, maybe not Halo and COD, but pretty damn close. So, and that's all I've been playing. And I for the next probably at least a month, I'm probably going to skip what I've been playing because you'd be damn lucky if I play anything else. It is that good. I mean, I knew it was going to be, and I have to admit, the people I've kind of become friends with on Google+, the group that I'm in, and there's got to be 60, 70 people in there. I don't play with all of them, but I play with a fair number of them, a dozen or so. They got me more excited for it. Now, I still skipped all the beta stuff, and I still skipped. I'm actually kind of glad I was stupid, Glacinator, because I missed all the, I can't log in, this is bullshit stuff. When I finally downloaded it midday Saturday, logged right on, started playing. But launch day literally was. There was really no problems, which is just unheard of for video games.
Yeah, one of my roommates and one of his friends both have it. And I haven't seen them since it came out. So
you should, if you get a chance, if you get an opportunity, do me a favor. Walk over there.
Okay.
If the smell will stand it, you know, if they're not wearing an adult diaper and have an IV. Walk over there and watch them play for a little bit. Let me know what you think about the art next week.
Okay.
Because I'm undecided about it. I really, really like it. And if they're really nice, to have them take you to or have them go to a vista so you can kind of see that. I'm undecided about it. I like it, but I'm not sure of its overall quality. And so I kind of want a second opinion. I mean, it's not quite as cartoony as WoW. I know you've at least seen screenshots of WoW. You know, it's not quite that as cartoony, but it feels more organic.
Okay.
So if you can find them and their whereabouts...
I'll let you know.
If you can find their whereabouts, if they're not playing under a bridge with really good Wi-Fi somewhere, haven't been to class in 6 days. It is, because I'm of an age and with how much I've got to do in a given week, any given week, I know when to, okay, it's time to log off and go to bed. Yeah, it hasn't been that way this week. I'm actually really kind of tired and worn out, and it's only Thursday. Because it's literally the kind of game. And you could think of it, a genre that would be this way for you. It's literally the kind of game where, I'll just do one more quick thing. Oops, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's that bad. Or it's that good a game. One of the two. Let's move on. Our discussion topic this week is lame. It's a theme on this show. Outside of the Uncle G question, which is pretty good, the show's not that good because apparently everybody's saving all their big announcement rumors and bullshit for PAX. Which is this weekend, and which, once again, I'm not going to. This time around, because I've decided I'm antisocial and don't want to see that many people at once. Or something else. I want to talk about Darksiders, because Darksiders 2 just came out. And it dawned on me that, you know how Glace, a lot of people bitch, oh, there's no originality, there's no sequels. You know, the only games that get sequels are FPS and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about Darksiders. But first off, let's do this. Did you play Darksiders?
Yeah, I played it. I never finished it, though.
You never finished it. How far did you get?
Not that far. I probably beat the first main boss and then halfway to the next boss.
See, here's what I find funny about this. Both you and Patrick, your complaint about RPGs is that they, especially Pat, is that they're kind of confusing and they're kind of hard to follow sometimes and they're kind of tedious. That's what made me give up on... on the original Darksiders.
And
it kind of makes me feel bad because I just got to the point where I was really confused about what the hell I was supposed to do. I'm not much of what the hell's the word I'm looking for? I want to say beat 'em up, but hack and slash.
Yeah, kind of God of War style.
Yeah, and so
that's what it was. I mean, I really liked the adventure, looking for stuff, the collectible stuff, but because of all the hack and slash and the leveling up, it turned into a lot of grinding, and grinding is what turns me off of RPGs. And so, I think around halfway to the second boss is when I just kind of just stopped playing it, just because it got really repetitive, killing people.
Okay, so you stayed true to form. On the other hand, meanwhile, we have Patman, or Patrick, who loved the damn game. And that's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of an RPG that wasn't finished. I mean, it was a good game. I liked the art.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was great. It's just not
I liked the fact of the fact that it could be an homage to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, kind of have its own little thing going. So, with that in mind, and if I read VGA charts right, excuse me, I'm trying to burp quietly. The game sold somewhere between 930,000 units or 1.2 million units, which is not stellar, and yet it still got a sequel. Is this a sign that if the game hits a certain pitch with the community or with people, then it can still get a sequel, even if it's not a bazillion seller? Or is this just kind of an anomaly? And because it was such a homage to like Zelda and other things, we probably aren't going to be seeing this with other borderline games like Darksiders. What do you think, Glaze?
I mean, well, if a game hits a certain niche market like this did, then I think there's definitely potential to have a sequel. I can't think of an example of another game that's done it, but I'm sure there have been games before where there's just been a small target audience that liked it, but they really, really liked it, and they really wanted another one. And because the developers knew there was, even though it wasn't great demand, there's still high demand for a sequel, they could make one.
You know, another aspect of this is maybe they didn't get a sequel because it's kind of the 360's answer to God of War, which is...
That's true.
It's a stupid thing to have to say, but you know there's people that think that.
Yeah, I can see that as well.
So you do think that it's kind of just a one-off case, or just kind of, it's not a trend that we could be looking forward to, like Enslaved Odyssey to the West getting a sequel?
I wouldn't say it's impossible for a game to come out of death, to use a pun, but I mean, it's certainly rare, though.
So overall, this doesn't give you hope that games will get sequelized on their merits, on the fact that they were good pieces of software?
I wouldn't say no hope. Some hope, maybe.
It's still good news, though, and especially for fan of Darksiders. That's why I wanted to do two positive discussion topics in a row, considering how I'm going to tee off on something a little bit later. It's probably a good thing. you know, because it is, and I was happy to see it. As much as the game was not for me, and it actually goes right back to our discussion topic last week. That's kind of what Glaze Knight and I think were stumbling our way towards, you know, 2 minutes ago. It wasn't for us, but we could see why people loved it. Am I correct in saying that for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what it came down to. I mean, I kept it on my shelf, or actually in my drawer of 360 games, for a long time with the thought that I would go back to it. And I actually went back to it on three separate occasions. And just still could not get into it enough to say, okay, I'm going to follow it through. You know? Which I suppose in retrospect is kind of a shame if I did that with Dragon Age, but couldn't do it with a game that's half the length. Excuse me. So there you go. Maybe there's a glimmer of hope that games will get sequels on their merits, people. But I think our advice to you is don't hold your breath, because you're going to turn blue and pass out and look like Glacinator's Skype avatar, except dead.
Will they grow that many arms, too?
Maybe if they blow... Yeah, that is true. I did kind of leave out the Shiva-esque qualities of your... Oh, crap, I forget about the damn human-colored arms. There are, like, what... 3 dozen fucking, yeah. I shouldn't look at that thing as often or too often. Okay, well, that was a quick discussion topic. Hey, it's a two-man show. Piss off. Let's move on to Uncle G. He's back, cranky as ever. Or as Patman calls him, Yes, that's right. I'm throwing a Pat under the bus. Cranky Kong, which I kind of actually like that. Uncle G, Cranky Uncle G, Cranky Kong. I think Cranky Kong has some significance from something we've done, but I'll be buggered if I can remember what. So take it away, Uncle G.
Greetings, WonderPod. Technologically challenged Uncle G here again, and I got another article I want you guys to talk about. Now, this one comes from a website called pinknews.co.uk, and it's by Joseph Patrick McCormick. It's called "The First LGBT Video Game Convention Set to Take Place in 2013. Here's the gist of it. A group of San Francisco-based gamers have set out to create a safe and tolerant alternative to video game conventions, and have confirmed that they have raised enough to host the event next summer. GamerCon is described on Kickstarter as the first gaming and tech convention with a focus on LGBT geek culture and has seen over $72,000 in support, way more than the $25,000 target. The world of video games has been involved in controversy in the past over homophobic language used online and even questionable themes within some games themselves. The event has also been criticized by other gamers who claim it creates a division in the gaming world rather than bringing people together. Matt Kahn, one of those involved in organizing the event, responded to these claims saying, "I don't think that this removes them from the greater community. I think that it just gives them an additional community that can be of interest." Now, what's the deal, guys? Do you think this is a good thing? Are we just segregating people based on their sexual orientation, or are we providing an alternative and safe environment? What do you think about these types of events? You know, perhaps we could have conventions for small children who play games versus hardcore teenagers who like to throw derogatory comments at them online. Anyway, I'm going to let you chime in on this one because I thought this was kind of an interesting story. Until next time, or if Audio Master G gets his ass off the couch and records one of these things, technological challenged Uncle G pushing this big off button thing.
Hello, G. This week, it seems your question is about the gay community of gamers, I guess you could say, and how they're trying to have their own con. And you're asking whether or not this is going to divide the gaming community as a whole. And honestly, I don't really think so. I mean, in the gaming community already, you have so many subsets of different types of people. But at the same time, you still consider yourself part of the... It's not necessarily a official gaming community as a whole sort of thing. But you still feel sort of connected to other gamers. I mean, you may have people that are into, I don't know, really into MMOs, and you may have people that are really into Nintendogs. There's just all kinds of different things, all kinds of different subsets. You may have cosplayers, and even though you have different categories of people, they're still part of a whole group. So you can have as many subsets of a community as you want, but as a whole, it's still a complete community. And you can go, Bruce.
Hey there, Uncle G. It's... First, I need to say this. My rant that I'm about to go on is in no way intended or pointed at the messenger, in this case, Uncle G, or any of the other various G family members. Just so we're clear on that, so, you know, this has nothing to do with you guys. I understand full well, G family, Uncle G, that you just ask the questions and we answer them. And that's what I'm about to do. I saw this kind of as it happened on Twitter, because the Kickstarter got thrown around by people who thought it was a good idea. I think it's a good idea because I don't give two screaming shits either way. Want to add another con? Great. The other thing actually too that I should point out before I go off, there is nothing that says you can't go to this con if you're straight. So, you know, there is that. They just wanted a con that was for the LGBT community, and I think I just fucked that up. Anyways, you know what I mean, lesbian, homosexual community. And I'm totally cool with that. The problem is you have a lot of immature, doesn't matter what age, and stupid people on the internet. I think they would be the same people who we hear in Halo matches, COD matches, pick your FPS. Racing games. They're ignorant dipshits. And so in their little stupid ass rattled minds, having a gay con is just gay, man. You know, they would say the same things that they say to you in a Halo match. So, in reality, as far as I'm concerned, any of the people that were like, oh, this is bad, this is just, you shouldn't have this, this is segregating our gamer community, are idiots. And just wanted to stir shit. But in reality, I'd love to see some of these homophobic Halo idiots go to this convention. So the first time they called somebody a queer, they would get the shit kicked out of them. Because I got news for you, princess. Just because they're lesbian or homosexual doesn't mean that they can't be tough. I know several. So there'd be nothing I'd like more than watching the average Halo or COD player getting his ass kicked for being a douchebag. I don't attend that many conventions anymore, but if somebody gave me a free ticket to this convention, you damn right I'd go. I don't give a shit. That's not what it's about. We're gamers. You can add the word gay to it. You can add the word stupid to it. You can add the word ignorant to it. You can add Minecraft to it. You know, whatever game you fancy to it. It's a convention. All are welcome. This one just happens to be a theme for gay gamers. And as far as I'm concerned, they have every right to it. You know, nobody told you you had to give to the Kickstarter. Nobody told you you had to go to the damn convention. So, to me, this is one of those non-issues where we really need to learn what to get upset and offended about. You know, for those of you that have a real issue with Gay Gamer Con, go to PAX. Go to fucking Comic-Con. Go to Dragon Con. Go to WonderCon. Go to some other con. Or better yet, stay the fuck home, because I don't think anybody else wants you around either. Because there is just really no conceivable argument that makes sense for being against this. It's ridiculous. And for me, from my perspective, it doesn't have jack shit to do with the fact that they're, you know, homosexuals. I would say this about anything. You know, if Animal Crossing wanted to have its own convention, tear it up. You know,
yes.
We all know I famously hate that game, but I don't care. Tear it up.
I'll bring you with me, Bruce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure I'd be a guest of honor there to the whole 10 people that listen to this fucking show. I'd go. What the hell? Although, here's what I'd worry about if there was.
Furries?
Uh-huh. That would be my concern. I can handle.
We would avoid that.
Almost anything not involving bodily fluids as being fine. If you want to do it behind closed doors, tear it up. Furries, I just, God love them, fair enough, okay, but I just, it creeps me out. But you know they'd show up. I mean, Animal Crossing's got to damn near be like porn to them, that and Viva Pinata. See, there's nobody around to make me behave. John just has like this presence of, you know, behave. See, you're screwed now because I don't have to behave. Pat's not here, John's not here, so I can be as creepy and as perverted as I want. It should be noted that the only thing that keeps me from being worse is I don't want to be accused of ripping off Podtoid. But in reality, that's all I'd really like to do, is just be a carbon copy of Podtoid, because they occasionally talk about video games, and it's far funnier than the shit we do here. It's also the only podcast I listen to, because I know I can't rip it off, or I won't rip it off, so I can listen to it and not worry about copying it. Sorry, Uncle G. That had absolutely nothing to do with Gay GamerCon. But no, again, to perhaps put a neat little bow, or as neat as I'm capable of on this, it's just people. No, I got a better one. It's much to do about nothing. You know, it's people looking for an excuse to be offended, to be stupid, and in this case, ignorant. I wouldn't even call the people that were against it discriminatory. They're just ignorant dumbasses. And trust me, gaming is unfortunately full of them clowns. I never did hear in your particular segment, for reasons that we will not explain, for reasons having to do with bodily fluids, would you have a problem with attending this con if you and a group of friends wanted to go?
No, not really.
That was a long pause there. Are you a closet homophobe? Is that the problem?
No.
Okay, I know.
In New Orleans, we have a thing called Decadence Fest, which basically is Gay Day. and everyone goes to the French Quarter, and just it's very odd, and I've been there, so I think I've experienced the most extreme version of that, so this would not faze me in the least.
I'm not going to tell you how I know this. I'm really not going to tell you how. I do believe that there's also... Okay, I will tell you how I know this. I read an article on it, like, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. I do believe there's like a fetish in S&M ball or something that's in the French Quarter as well, and I do believe they make it outdoors as well. So my point in all this is, besides attempting to give people something to think that I might do that I really don't, if you grew up in New Orleans, I think you're going to be pretty much okay at anything. Except maybe FurryCon.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if there is a convention for furries. I'm too terrified to look it up.
There probably is. I think...
That probably falls under Rule 34 of the internet, except with conventions. If there is...
That's true.
I bet there is. Okay. So, there you go, Uncle G. Kind of messy, but in reality, we answered the question. Looking forward to hearing from you next week, bud. Let's move on. Okay, the first one is about Guild Wars 2, and I apologize. I don't apologize. It's this story of, hey, it sells 1 million copies. It's got 400,000 concurrent users playing all at the same time. He had to explain what the fuck concurrent means. Oh, God, this world's coming to an end. All I wanted to say about this is it doesn't matter. You know... It doesn't matter how well it's doing against WoW. It doesn't matter how well it's doing against a couple other MMOs that just came out and tanked unforgivably. And I find these stories a bit ridiculous. It's like, guys, it's been out since Tuesday. For fuck's sake, calm down. The reason I did this story, Glaze, is because I don't give a shit what its sales numbers are, or what its current numbers are, or what its current players on. Does this at all bother you about games that you like say Battlefield or Animal Crossing or what? Does it bother you, you know, that people are trying to squeeze out metrics of how many people are actually playing it? Or are you kind of like me? I like the game, and as long as they keep the fucking servers on, I don't give a shit. I'm playing it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always said that I listen to what other people think of a game before I ever look at numbers, if I ever look at numbers in the first place. So, I mean, and everyone that has played, I mean, you and my two friends I talked about are loving it, so... I mean, just going off of other people's opinions is a lot more valid, I think, sometimes, than just looking at straight stats.
Well, people that you...
would trust their opinion of.
I wasn't going to say that in my case, but that's because that's my running joke. But yeah, I'm much the same way, you know, because there were a couple people, as much as I'm loving the Google Plus people that I'm playing with, there were a couple other people whose opinions I highly value that were in the beta and are like, yeah, dude, you be an idiot. Because the other thing, too, is there's no subscription fee.
Yeah, that's the big thing that they were talking about.
It's fucking free. You know, I mean, yeah, you have to pay $60. Why is my phone ringing? Hang on. I don't know you. Go away. Okay. Live on air, me answering my phone to a number that I don't know.
You should have answered it.
Yeah, but I got an idea. It was probably a telemarketing call or something. I get a couple telemarketing calls now on my cell phone. It's starting to piss me off, but not enough to change my number. If it had been somebody I knew, I would have answered it.
Should have answered it, put it on the air.
Hello.
What's your opinion on Guild Wars 2?
My name is Raji. I'm going to try. I can't even do an Indian accent. I can barely speak English.
Hello? This part is worth two? Yes. I play very much on my free time. I am level 37 already.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hell. Well, I am, because me and Pat corrupted you in the first place. Let's do a story that actually I don't have to make up a question for you to talk about, because the last story is kind of the same bullshit, and we'll just talk about balls or something for an hour, for another 30 minutes. Well, you have a set, and I'm sure occasionally you'll at least look at them. Oh, come on.
Where is this going?
Yeah. No, whoa. Yeah, and I'm actually feeling slightly bad about my mind being dirty, and you're the one beat me to the punch. That's nice, you pervert. Let's attempt to talk about video games. Xbox 360 gets its first free-to-play game. I love the name of this game, Happy Wars. So, only from Japan. It can only come from Japan because... Do I need to explain the irony in the title of that game? Are you curious to try a free-to-play game on Xbox Live? Because this isn't an MMO, which has been free-to-play's domain. This is more... What the hell is this? Yeah, I don't have any clue what this is. I don't think it says. It looks like kind of a tower defense, Castle Crashers ripoff type game from the one piece of art.
I mean, there's a tower in the picture.
And there's a bunch of dudes shooting at it with
bolts
of light. Either way, as long as it's not an MMO or an RPG, are you interested or curious to try some free-to-play games on Xbox Live since you already pay for a gold subscription anyway?
Yeah, I mean, like Pat says, if it's free, it's for me. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen if you download this, you know? I mean, if you download it, you don't like it, you're not going to cry about it.
No, you'll delete it off your hard drive.
Yeah, so when it does come out, I guess I'll try it out.
So you're going to try out Happy Wars?
Yeah.
It'd be really nice if I'd gotten a story that told us what the fuck it actually is. Oh, it's a multiplayer combat game.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's really telling us all we need to know. This is actually going to give you a chance to rant. I just thought of a question that'll give you your second favorite topic after DLC. Kim Castorellis. No, Katsarellis. Fucking Frenchman. Is saying that PC gaming's not dead. This new Glass House engine. Is it Glass House? I'm so not prepared this week. When the hell? Glass box. Nice. Glass box engine can be used for so many things. PC gaming's going strong, blah, 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 blah. First off, I don't know why the hell we need these articles. Obviously, PC gaming's not dead or Steam would have closed down. But that's not in my entire point. Wouldn't you rather we see these guys go to bat for Mac? You know, it's Maxis. They make a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, dead serious, especially because I found this story after we knew we were just doing it, you and I. That's kind of become sort of my crusade. Is like, seriously, guys? You know? Why can't this be on Mac? I mean, I don't really know what to ask you, but you feel free to rant at this guy for like, hey, why the hell aren't you, you know, helping us Mac bastards that don't have as many games?
I mean, he says in the article that he's not ruling out having different versions on other platforms, but I mean, at the same time, it's not out on it right now. And I say it all the time on the show, but if you put it on Mac, people will buy it because there's nothing on Mac. I mean, the only things that are on Mac are like 10 Steam games and like Trains. Train Simulator isn't even on Mac.
What? I mean,
no. Like, all these games that are, like, the simplest, easy games, just like, oh, no, it's a Mac. I'm a PC guy. We can't put that on Mac. Mac's a terrible system, you know? I feel like that's how a lot of developers are. They're, like, they have some grudge against Mac users. But the thing is, if you put it on Mac, I will buy because there's nothing else that I can play. I mean, I have some Humble Bundle games, which I've already beat, and I got Psychonauts, which I still haven't touched yet. And other than that, I literally cannot play anything besides TF2. That's it. So... please put stuff on Mac. We will buy it. I promise you.
What's the... In your circle of friends who are also gamers, even if, mm-hmm. like, they only play Minecraft, you know, or you know, they're not like us. I'm not sure who I just insulted there. how many of them are Mac users? And how many of them are PC users? Roughly. Percentages, numbers, I don't care how you break it up.
Out of Minecraft group of friends, zero are.
Zero are Mac users or PC?
Zero are Mac users.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all PC users.
Oh, I would have thought... That's not the number I expected.
I mean, I have friends in the art department that have Macs, because you have to have a Mac, but they're not necessarily gamers. But the thing is that if you're in the art department and you're a gamer and you get stuck with a Mac... I don't really want to have to go and buy another PC just to play games because I already have a 360. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in the same boat as me that want more games, but there are none.
So, okay, so the reason I asked is I thought maybe because you have been really adamant, and I believe you, that if they would just start porting stuff to Mac or making stuff for Mac, stuff that's not crap, people would play it. And so that led me to assume, which we all know how well that goes, that, you know, there you do a lot of Mac gamers. I know that they exist. I know that there's people out there that stick with consoles, and if it comes out for their Mac, great, but they will not use PC. I mean, you're kind of more in the case of you have to use a Mac. You're not anti-PC.
Yeah.
It's weird that Apple hasn't caught on to that either, because you think about the App Store. You know, you think about iTunes and the mobile games. You know, why isn't Apple pushing? I guess that's just they don't want that. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's Apple that's like, no, our computers are too elegant and too artistic to have silly games on them.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Steam was only introduced on the Mac a year, maybe 2 years ago.
Wow, has it only been 2 years?
It's only been 2 years. Before that, I mean, there was absolutely nothing. The only stuff you could buy for Mac was if you went to the Apple Store and you bought, like, Legoland City jerk-off game, you know? That and, like, Timon Teaches Typing. Other than that, that was the only stuff you could buy for Mac, those type of games. So Steam was the first major Mac release for games, I would say.
Jesus, that's just
generation of Mac, not the old Macintosh.
Yeah, back in the 80s and 90s, it was more straight crossover. But I think part of that, had to do with the fact that you also had Commodore still kicking around. You know, you still had different formats. It is becoming slightly homogenous, you know, which if you believe the panickers about this Samsung thing, the cell phone market's about to become a lot more homogenous. I'm not one of those people. I think I know how goofy the courts are here. Apple wins all the appeals in this state, then they might have something. For those of you who don't know, I'm talking about Samsung getting its ass kicked by Apple here in court, and I don't know what, last week. It was
last week.
It was entertaining because apparently tech users are getting just like political people. You know, all the Android fans were booing and hissing and claiming the world is coming to an end, and all the Apple people are going, "Yes, Apple is the only one who should be, you know, allowed to make smartphones." Okay. Speaking of. So you said something while we were doing that last god-awful news story. Have you ever played Psychonauts before?
Yeah, I had it on my 360 when they re-released it.
Okay, I was going to say, because if you've never played Psychonauts as an art dude.
I'm always a guy that tells you, I mean, when we were doing the list, I was the one that told you forgot to put it on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember. My bad. My bad on that one, because I couldn't remember.
I love that game. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't remember. I must have you confused with somebody. Because, yeah, to not have played that game. what would you classify the art of Psychonauts as?
Surrealist?
Ooh. Maybe.
But it's not realistic enough to be surrealist, ironically. So I'd just say abstract surrealism.
Especially as you go further in the game.
Yeah, as it gets on, it gets more and more crazy.
I was, you know, when you go, what is it? You go in somebody's mind?
Yeah, every time, each new level is someone's brain.
Yeah, but what's that one where, do you go like in a security guard's mind and it gets like really Picasso on you?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like the world like twists upside down as you walk, and there's like the secret agents everywhere popping up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that to me, it was like, oh, okay. You know, at first, and I do admit, when I first played it, and that was way back a long time ago, it was like on a old downloadable game service that was pre-Steam. Part of it was free, part of it you paid for. I, for the life of me, can't remember. what the hell the name of it was. Anyways, I saw it on there, and I'd been told a bunch of times by console people, play that game. If you ever get a chance, play that game. So I played it, and until I got to that security guard thing, the being inside people's minds was sort of surreal, but I'm like, oh, come on, you guys are going to have to do better than this to really make me go, holy shit. Yeah, I got inside that security guard's mind. I was like, holy shit, what is this crap? Because there like holes. You had to like figure out angles to get around stuff.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the most surrealist level was definitely the level where you were playing against Napoleon. It was like a tower defense like thing on like a map board.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so weird. There's so many different elements of things that didn't make sense in that. It was great. I mean, the whole game is great. But...
Well, even like the... Even like the when you're inside the is he considered a secret agent, the guy that talks like badly done German and has the glasses?
Yeah, he was like the doctor or something.
Yeah, but remember when you're in his brain, it's like a white Rubik's cube that crap just starts growing out of?
I think so.
Yeah, that I mean there's a Jesus Christ, there is literally nothing to talk about. While we're babbling here, I'm looking at my RSS reader, and there's literally nothing. Is there anything in gaming this week you want to talk about? Did anything happen in Minecraft? Because I haven't played it, so we didn't talk
about it. I haven't touched it since a while now.
You kidding? Yeah, me neither.
I mean, that's crazy, me saying I haven't touched it in a week. I don't even know the last time. It's been a week since I haven't touched it. I mean, because I've pretty much been playing it constantly. Except for now. So
what? Steam Greenlight is live. More than 30 games awaiting judgment. What the hell is this? Do you know what this is?
Greenlight? Is that where anyone can put games up?
Oh! Yes. Okay, audience. We might have something. Then again, we might not. Steam Greenlight, a community-based means of discussing and judging potential games for a launch on Steam, is up and running with more than 30 games on the docket. Steam Greenlight, announced in July, is a hub for developers. I didn't know it was called Greenlight. I thought it was just community. To post information about their games, to collect fan feedback, and get voted onto Steam's radar for future releases. Greenlight currently hosts Mutant Muds, which kind of started this whole mess, The Intruder, Oregon Trail. Oregon, as in O-R-G-A-N. 8-bit MMO, which I've actually played, was all right. Paper Monsters, DLC Quest, Call of Chalutha, The Wasteland, But to Paint a Universe. I'm not shitting you. That's the name of the game. But to Paint a Universe, Evil Quest, and Cute Things Dying Violently, among other low and high profile indie titles. Do you know how this thing came about?
No.
Mutant Muds. It's a game you should all go check out. And if it doesn't make it onto Steam, I think Steam's just going to have to give up. It was a console title, and there were big pauses there because I can't remember which fucking console. It's not one I own, so no. It might be PS3. Either way, it was, or it might have been 3DS. Anyway, it's apparently
it was really 3DS. Good. I'm looking at it right here.
Is it? Thank you.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a really good title. And Steam said, no, we're not going to put you on Steam. And gamer outrage happened. But in this case, it happened for the good, I guess. I'm never sure anymore. And so I've heard speculation that this whole community thing and this Steam Greenlight has a lot to do with the Mutant Muds dust up. And also because Steam does have a good community, and they are good at community management. Just going off of names that I listed, anything looking, or does anything sound like something you might want to play?
I mean, Mutant Muds looks pretty cool. I mean, I might pick that up on 3DS, since I have one. I didn't even hear about this game when it came out.
Well, there you go. See, I've done public service. If you have a 3DS, go check out Mutant Muds, you bastards.
I will do that.
I wasn't bitching at you.
I know you're not.
Oh, okay, cool. I think Oregon Trail, I'm going to have to at least go boot up Steam after we're done with the show and look at that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Have you played Cute Things Dying Violently on 360?
No.
You should go at least download the demo of that.
I played, there was one on 360, it was a baby launching simulator.
that made it past the censors into the indie games?
Yeah.
You serious?
There's one where you were shooting babies out of a pregnant woman, and you had to bounce on, like, doctors and stuff.
This is in the Xbox Live indie game section?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not even sure what to say about that. Yeah, I do. I don't think many Republicans will be playing it. Wow, that went over well.
I'm just trying to find the the video of it.
Yeah, because video works so well in an audio medium. For me to watch and then really scream about. I'm dead serious, folks. The reason we're still rambling on is because we're just rambling on. And not to mention the fact that there really wasn't jack shit for news this week. Unless you want to hear about Call of Duty Black Ops. Not really.
Oh, yeah, here it is. It's called Baby Maker Extreme 2. And it's sold over 120,000 copies on Xbox Live.
Sold? What is its current price?
It's $1.
So 80 points?
Yeah, I think 50 points.
Yeah, no, it's 80. I think 80.
I think
80 is a dollar. I don't know. Pat explained this to me one time and it gave me a headache. So I basically wasn't paying attention. Okay, I'm watching a YouTube video now. This is called Baby Maker Extreme 2. Please don't go download this. Essentially what we're telling you.
I mean, it's just... It's weird.
I just can't see any way this is, like, correct. Oh my fucking god. So it shoots out of the original woman. Oh, it just took out an outhouse. Or a, it's got a boulder. Okay, I gotta stop watching this because I want to go from being disgusted to want to playing it because I'm a twisted motherfucker. Okay, that's enough. Oh, that's it. I've saved it. I'm going to play it later. Wow. Okay, it wasn't quite as disturbing as I thought because the baby doesn't actually come out of a woman. It just kind of starts on screen left. But there is women in stirrups giving birth, and yeah, I'm still not. I'm trying to talk myself out of wanting to play it. Oh, I found out what Oregon Trail is. It was an app of the day from OneUp. Let's see what it is. Oh, it's basically an 8-bit. Here you go. It's basically Oregon Trail, which we read off in the last story about Steam Greenlight, is basically an 8-bit zombie game, it looks like.
Oh, Oregon Trail.
Yeah, I spelled it.
I know, I thought they meant like Oregon's, like piano Oregon's.
Oh!
I don't know why I thought that.
I thought you thought, you know what the original Oregon Trail game was, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought that.
I mean,
you thought
Oregon,
like
Oregon spelled the same way.
You're right, though. Yeah, no, you're totally right. I should have.
I probably should have thought Entrail Oregon's before I thought musical Oregon's.
I could have specified that what we're not talking about Hammond organs here. We're talking about kidneys.
That was a game like where you play as like an 8-bit organ, like piano, and you're trying to get like Transylvania or something.
You're in a dive lounge in Las Vegas. If you don't play well enough, drunk hobos throw beer bottles at you. I don't know. I kind of like the sound of that game better than I do Oregon Trail. Oh, well, guess what? In this one with green zombies, there's actually a picture of a strip club. Now I want to download this one. Scroll down. It's like the second picture down is yeah, you are in
It is a strip club, and there are green topless zombies.
Eating a dude. Look at the bottom left. If you click on it, it make it bigger.
Yeah, I see it.
Hey, look up in the top left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saving this image. It's going to become the banner for this week's show. That's a poster for the Grindhouse movie. It's the chick with the gun on her leg.
Oh, it is. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
That might be Sin City next to it, I think.
Look, yeah, the zombie in the middle on the stage is literally topless. It has no top half of its body.
What? Where? Oh, it doesn't. Somebody, there's like organs. There's like synthesizers coming out of it. I thought my brain went to weird places, but organs? What the hell? okay, so yeah, So you're going to see that picture that we just were babbling about as the part of the banner. So yeah, maybe you should go check out Oregon Trail if you want to kill zombies or be eaten by a zombie stripper. That's a new one you're probably not going to see in the next Left 4 Dead, would be my guess. Oh yeah, oh, there is this one. There is this one, and I didn't see it until just now. GameStop is considering selling classic games. Retailer GameStop is considering selling classic games as part of its existing website. CEO Paul Raines told Polygon at a recent GameStop Expo in San Antonio that the company sees the chance to sell classic games to customers as an opportunity to differentiate itself from competitors like Amazon, as well as surface titles that gamers might currently have to go to eBay for. If you go to eBay and look at the gaming stuff on there, it's unbelievable, said Raines. Collector stuff. We've got to be in that business. They are literally becoming a fucking pawn shop. So on and so forth and such like. What do you think of that? Because I know what I think of it to a certain extent. What do you think of GameStop literally becoming like, you know, buy a Zelda cartridge that may or may not play for $300,000?
Wait, it was for
$300,000? Sorry, I screwed you up there again. No, what do you think of GameStop getting in the classic game business? Let's just go with that.
I would not have a problem with that at all. I mean, because there's N64 games that I want to play, and so there's not really that many used game stores here in the South. I don't know why. I mean, there used to be. They died with the arcades. It's really weird. So the only way I can, like, I want to play Conker's Bad Fur Day, but the only way I can get that is if I go track down one of my friends that I know that has it. And even then, it might not work. So, I mean, you're always taking a risk when you're buying an older game. But I think as long as we're able to get more access to them, you have more choices to choose.
Yeah, see, I don't have a problem with that if the prices are right. But what I'm
if it's a ridiculous price, then no.
Well, that's what I'm terrified of, because have you seen what some stuff goes for on eBay? And that's what I was talking about. You mean nobody posted on your Facebook or other social media accounts you have of, like, an original Mario cartridge, like a developer cartridge that they were fairly sure wouldn't even work, that was listed for some, like, ridiculous price? I mean, I made it even more ridiculous, because that's what I do. Like, $75,000 or $80,000, and it was, a plain Nintendo 8 cartridge.
Those are collectible stuff. I'm just thinking about having normal N64 games or older games like that.
Right, but I've seen some that's just like, you know, Duck Hunt on eBay going for way crazier prices than 8-bit Duck Hunt should go for. Or maybe that's me. Maybe I don't understand the market. Maybe that's the problem.
I mean, they might be selling for so much because they're unopened.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Okay, that I would give them a little bit of leeway on. That still seems... I'd rather... If I just want to play Duck Hunt and I want the actual goddamn cartridge, give me an open one that's like $20.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Do you think GameStop has any or has enough pull to get some game companies to re-release classics? Could we potentially be looking at something in a box store space that's like Good Old Games or Steam that has a lot of classic games that you cannot get anymore?
Well, I mean, GameStop used to do that. They used to carry N64 games, and then they stopped because, you know, I guess they either ran out or they just stopped making money off of them. So, I mean, my childhood, I was used to growing up seeing N64 stuff in stores. So, I mean, it wouldn't be that weird to me to see them do it again.
Yeah, but you do realize there are other classic consoles besides the N64.
Yeah, besides N64. I mean, just to me, that's the classic console to me, because that was me when I was a kid. I mean, the same thing with NES, SNES.
I'm sensing a theme there. Yeah, that you're rather fond of the N64 console, which is fine.
I'm sorry, I'm going off of what I know.
Wow. What? Use logic and actual facts? What the hell's wrong with you? We're in podcast radio. You can make this shit up as you go, leading the audience to wonder how often we do that. I'll give you a hint, lots. And that's what I'm thinking too, you know. But for me, being older, classic PC games, you know. But the problem there is you have Good Old Games, you have Steam, you have Amazon that has a downloadable service. I'd be kind of curious to see what they can do with it. You know, will they be able to make this something that's actually gamers actually want rather than just, because, like, honestly, when was the last time you were in a GameStop?
Last Sunday to reserve, to get pick up Mario and reserve Assassin's Creed.
Oh, so you still do all your pre-orders and stuff from GameStop?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, yeah, I've become.
I mean, because I don't have a mailbox, so I can't use the internet to get stuff.
I apologize. You've said that before, that you're stuck with a P.O. box, and yeah, they don't like delivering packages to those.
Yeah.
See, because it's been, I kid you not, it's probably been a year and a half at least since I've been inside of GameStop. So while it's an interesting debate, and this may be something that actually pulls me into their store, possibly, or their website. I think it mentioned a website too. I still think I'm going to probably stick with Amazon and Steam as my two main suppliers of video games.
I mean, that, and plus with older games, you might want to inspect them before you buy them, you know, in case there's any scratches in the cartridge.
That's a very good point.
And they could have a TV there or something where you can just put it in the system to make sure it works.
Well, they do have a, you know, they have it. Have you ever seen them put your games you trade in, if you trade in games, into their disc checker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anything like that for older cartridges or something, or if they could come up with something.
I mean, just put the game in N64. There, I'm talking about it again, but just put in whatever.
Well, no, that is the most simplest solution. That's true. So there you go. GameStop may be branching out into classic games. The problem here is maybe, actually, this is going to be the last question I'll ask you about the GameStop thing. Because this is what it seems like to me. GameStop seems like it's a man who's treading water after his boat sank. And and he's finding small bits of stuff that are coming up from the sunken boat that's keeping him afloat a little longer. Oh, isn't this great? But eventually he's going to run out of stuff. And he's either going to have to swim or he's going to have to sink. Does that seem like that to you, too? Does this seem like they're flailing quite a bit?
I think it's a valid point. But at the same time, getting classic games is something that I'm definitely interested in, so I can't really be that mad at them for this.
So essentially, you're more than willing to ride the ship until it disappears out of sight.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, yeah, which in business terms is Chapter 7, bankruptcy. So, okay, I think we've terrified people enough. We got enough for at least an hour here. Piss on it. Next week, for those of you that are fans of the Canadians, because I'm pretty sure 3/4 of our audience tunes in for the Canadians, which we're not.
I can be Canadian.
Oh, hey. Really? How many of you do?
Maple syrup.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, but choose your words wisely. You know, you're going to offend quite a few people you actually know.
What? Hockey is awesome. I'm sorry.
I'm not even Canadian, and I'm not buying that. That's what you guys should do. That's next time you have a storm or some other reason to screw off. Skateboard hockey.
Oh, gosh. What's the puck going to be made of?
Well, I mean, if you don't want to head down to your local Big Five and get an actual street hockey puck, you know what would be kind of fun? Either a tinfoil pie plate or a frisbee.
A frisbee?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
That might work. That might work.
Hey, disc golf is a thing.
Yeah.
That I was only vaguely aware of until the other day when I learned far more about it than I wanted to know. Not enough to make me interested in playing it, but enough to go, oh, okay, fair enough, have fun, guys. So there you go. I've just given you another way for you people to hurt yourselves. And on that note, this has been episode 125. Let me tell you how you can find us. Obviously you found us if you're listening to the show, and as I do this more and more each week, I start to realize it seems a little silly, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you've stumbled across this podcast, somebody stuck earbuds in your ears and was torturing you with it, and after the torture's over, you wanted to find it again, you can go to iTunes. That's right, we're there. Just search for WonderPod. Apparently we're not cool enough or hipster enough to get into the list, so you got to search for us.
Maybe why are we appealing to torture victims now?
I don't know. Seems good. How do you think people who've been tortured by our government or others actually listen to this show? Do you think we're a big hit in China?
Might be.
We're about to find out. So if you don't like iTunes, or if you stopped after the torture thing, I was more going for a joke about this show being so horrible that they're torturing people with it, but you bring up the other angle I was attempting to ignore, maybe. No, I wasn't. I was just trying to be a bastard. Anyway, iTunes. If you don't like iTunes, go to archive.org, search there. You can find it there as well. If neither of those work for you, we have a website. It's called wonderpodonline.com, all one word. I post the thing physically for you to see there. It also has the links there. And it also has an embedded player. So if you don't like junking up your hard drive of your computer with MP3 files, you can just listen to it on the website. We also have a Facebook. It's called WonderPod Online. Imagine that. I think there's a dash in between WonderPod and online, but I'm not positive about that. Again, search for it. It's 2012. You know, if you know the words, you can figure it out. We also have a YouTube channel. Smartass over here blew up my flow on the ending bit has also got a YouTube channel. There's some pretty cool things on there. And if you find his Facebook, watch the Chariot Races from Hell, because it did give me a chuckle. I do freely admit. What other stuff? Oh, there's other stuff that goes on at the website, too. Patman does free iPhone games. There's wrestling. There's shit. Other stuff. Glacinator does playthrough videos on occasion when he's not in school. We have, I don't know. Yeah, that's it. And if you want to send email to call me a horrible person for making, let's see, crappy boat analogies, torture jokes. I'm sure I did something during the gay and lesbian segment to piss somebody off. Talking about balls or attempting to. If you'd like to scream at me or feel sorry for Glacinator about any of those, we do have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM. I do John's, but I can't remember it. Until episode 126, I am Bruce McGee. I'm just out of here, people. It'll be back to normal next week, maybe. See ya.
All right, see you later, guys.
I don't have any adult supervision, so I can't. I just act like this. When there's no adult around. Somebody find me an adult.